greetings and welcome everyone to On the Agenda podcast for Associated School Boards of South Dakota. Keith Larson, Executive Director at Associated School Boards, with me today to do a rundown and a deeper dive at the end of legislative session is Director of Communications, Tyler Pickner. Thanks for joining us, Tyler.
Hey, thanks for having me, Heath. It's a great day in Pierre, and I can only imagine that's because legislative session's officially over.
Yeah, we're veto day was March 30th, so that'll be it for the conclusion and official end then of session. And we're happy to give a rundown today and kind of go through some ASBSD rundown of legislative session, some bills, and kind of how everything shook out for us. So let's get started here. I just want to thank all of our members, especially our land members, for their commitment to our advocacy efforts this session. Whether it was our starting with our platform last year in the spring and then working through our process with standing positions and resolutions, all the work that goes into that, we really appreciate everyone's efforts and all the cooperative, collaborative effort from our members and the team at ASBSD. So thank you for your commitment and your hard work on our advocacy efforts. Let's talk a little bit about bill tracker figures. We tracked 111 pieces of legislation this 2026 session. We monitored 56 bills. We supported 19. We did have several bills signed by Governor Roden and also had 7 commemorations that were enrolled. So it was a busy session. In addition to that, we had 36 bills of opposition this year, and the success rate in killing those bills was 94%. So 2 went through that we actually officially opposed, which was a strong success rate, our highest since 2020. So we had a good run at bill opposition this year. It was a few fewer bills of opposition, Tyler, this year than we had last year, but nonetheless, a pretty good number.
Yeah, 8 fewer, if I remember correctly. I think we had 44 opposed last year. But the good news is we had 19 pieces of legislation to support this year compared to last year, where that number was single digits. So all in all, a good session, more positive results.
One of the challenges on a lot of our support bills this year, it was a lean funding year, and a good chunk of our support bills obviously had to do with funding, and in a lean budget year and associated with those. So those were harder to get through and to take rid of. But what did pass, we're happy about, we're proud of and supported, for our schools is a positive thing. So just want to give a little rundown too on our property tax scenario. We had big year on property tax. Last episode of On the Agenda that I hosted, we had Secretary Howdy Shell from the Department of Revenue and the Director of Property Tax Division, Wendy Semler, on, and they covered and had them, and we had a good discussion on some of the property tax bills. In particular, Senate Bill 216 from 2025, and then we also got into Senate Bill 96 and Senate Bill 245 from this year. And all three of those kind of work a little bit hand in hand with each other. We were monitoring Senate Bill 96, so we did not have a formal stance on 96. We did oppose Senate Bill 245 from that standpoint, just with the replacement revenue we were okay with, but the sales tax, that can fluctuate a little bit. So we get concerned from a funding perspective for our K-12 school districts with that. So those are the three bills we kind of covered, and I would encourage anyone to, if you get a chance, take a peek at that podcast episode we have had with the Department of Revenue and take a listen to that and view that. You could pick up some information that maybe hopefully would be meaningful and informational for you. As we transition, let's talk a little bit, Tyler, about what everyone always, we always focus on, we always want to take attention to, and that's state aid and funding. So do you want to talk a little bit about what shook out with state aid this year?
For sure, it's a good transition from property tax and state aid, as they go hand in hand in our formula. We did have some good news. As we said, in December, there was a 0% increase proposed by Governor Roden. But by the end of session, we got revenue figures that were up, and Governor Roden and the legislature backed a 1.4% increase in state aid. You'll note in the formula, that'll be noted in our target teacher salary, which will increase to $63,700. And we got to note that that's nothing more than a metric that shows that state aid did increase by 1.4%. So don't think that, oh, we've got to get our average teacher salary or compensation or whatever to that level. That's just simply the metric of the 1.4%. The one thing you do need to note for your accountabilities is the average teacher compensation. And for the 26-27 school year, your average teacher compensation has to be 6.65% higher than it was in the 23-24 school year. That's what the legislature put in place that year, that you've got to reach that level. So make sure that your average teacher comp is 6.65% higher than it was for the 23-24 school year for this next coming school year. Also coming in the accountability is the minimum teacher salary. That's going to be at $46,201. So all of your teachers in your district need to be at a minimum of $46,201 for the 26-27 school year. Now, to make sure that you're keeping up with that, we would highly encourage you to go to the Department of Education's teacher compensation calculator. That can be found on their school budget webpage. We'll put the link up here so you can find it, and then we'll also put it on our website so you can get to that as well. But the DOE's got that tracked. So all 147 public school districts, both your minimum teacher salary and your average teacher compensation will be on that calculator. So before you finalize, you know, your negotiations, if you haven't yet, make sure you go check that calculator out. Make sure that your figure that you've nailed down with your teachers is also what what Department of Ed has, so you can avoid having to go before, you know, the School Finance Accountability Board next year.
Thanks for the rundown on that, Tyler. And I think a great message or point is to utilize that calculator, check that out. That can be a good reference point for our school boards and for our superintendents and business managers. And I know a lot of them know about that and aware of that, but and are aware of that. So make sure to utilize that as a good resource for you. Let's talk a little bit about some other funding and funding related type bills. One bill that did pass this year that we supported was Senate Bill 106, and that increased the funding and extraordinary cost in special education from $4 million to $5 million. So that has a $1 million increase that had not been adjusted for it's been quite a while. I want to say to about 10 years since that dollar amount had changed. So it'd been at $4 million quite a while. So it went up to $5 million. That passed both chambers, and the governor did sign the bill as well, and we were supportive of that. House Bill 1130 allowed for just a little bit more flexibility from a school district perspective in paying out from the capital outlay fund to pay out your property insurance. So if you were butted up against that 45% cap in capital outlay flexibility, which is in state statute, this would alleviate a little bit of room for that potentially as well. So we supported that, and that was a good update for us as well. One that got quite a bit of attention and a lot of publicity was the state reimbursement for school districts on reduced students on free and reduced, but specifically under the reduced price meals. And that total cost to the state is estimated to be at just about $600,000, I think, roughly just under that. So we're all about feeding kids, and hungry kids can't learn. So we're all about taking care of that. And we're really, really happy about this for our school districts as well, and for the kiddos of South Dakota. Tyler, let's transition into opt-outs, petitions, and other required elections. One of the major themes this year, it seemed like, for our public education for our school districts. Can you talk a little bit about those items?
Yeah, some bills that maybe we weren't quite as happy about seeing is there were eight of them this year that specifically, you know, dealt with opt-outs, petitions, taking the local control away from the school board in certain areas. I won't cover all of them, but you know, we had Senate Bill 85, which was going to require any opt-out decision of a board to go straight to an election. There was 183 that was going to change the posting requirements as well as require a mailing to all taxpayers within a district if a school board was even considering an opt-out. There was another bill, Senate Bill 223, that was going to change the threshold of signatures, you know, lower that, make it easier than to request an opt-out. We also had House Bill 1241, which combined those three previous bills that I had talked about, combined them all in one, and it kind of happened at the very last minute. You know, it was a hoghouse bill. Nobody had gotten a good look at it. They did it without a hearing, and it was fortunately killed on the Senate floor. And then we also had House Bill 1323, which got pretty far through the process. And what that one did was it took the school board decision and it was going to lower the voter threshold as well as expand the number of days from 20 to 30 days and what a petition could be circulated. And that wasn't going to be specifically just for opt-outs. That was going to be any school board decision. You know, your start date, you know, back to opt-outs, all of that stuff was going to be able to be lower threshold of signatures as well as extended days. We bring these up because the important part is this isn't going to go away. You know, the property tax discussion was obviously big, and they, you know, the proponents of these bills, which we opposed and thankfully got them all killed, we, you know, said that opt-outs was a big part of the problem with property taxes. So we would just encourage you to, one, find these bills. You know, you can do that at our bill tracker, the ones that ASBSD opposed, and see where your legislator was on these issues on the vote, you know, and have a conversation with them about, you know, what the concerns are. And because a lot of what we heard is it wasn't necessarily the public coming to the school board and saying, hey, we've got a problem. It was them going beyond. So we would encourage you discuss this with your legislator, whether they were, you know, in favor of these bills or opposed to these bills, just so that we're prepared going into the next session, because these issues aren't going to go away. And we need to make sure that we're, you know, continue to clearly express that our school boards are making, you know, strong, informed decisions when they're seeking these opt-outs or any decision that they make at that level, and that we're doing what's best to serve our students as well as our taxpayers within their local school district.
I think, Tyler, one of the clear messages that it seemed like in conversations this year was the thought that sometimes the opt-outs are happening and they're saying that the constituents aren't informed or they're not aware of them, which we certainly came back with that with we are providing ample notice. The statute works. It's proven that it works based on the process is that we have had opt-outs that were referred and have been referred.
For sure.
And in almost all of those cases, those opt-outs passed from a vote of the people, which instituted the fact that our boards do have very, have been transparent and they've been really talking about what that is through board agendas, through committee hearings, through different processes in their local communities. So, kudos to the school boards on their transparency with that. We'll keep fighting the good fight for you. Certainly, from a standpoint when it comes to local school board authority and our publicly elected officials and supporting the work that you're doing. So keep up the great work with that. But do know, as was mentioned, we do anticipate seeing these bills again in some way, shape, or form when it comes to opt-outs or general petition type scenarios for these decisions. Let's talk a little bit, a couple that were defeated, bills that were defeated this year, but could possibly come back. We had a couple voucher-esque bills dealing with property tax credits. We also had a bill dealing with a charter school and starting charter schools in South Dakota, which was brought forth. The bill was defeated. However, we could see some of that coming back. In addition, just a few other bills that dealt with infringements on your local control decision making that we dealt with. Certain ones with parental rights, as an example, that would have certainly circumvented local control and dictated school district policy. A lot of different bills such as that that really honed in on a local control scenario. Do
And
want
if
to
I could,
mention.
that's a national movement, so that's going to continue. You know, we're not, I don't think we've seen the end of that just because it went away this session. I do believe that that's another one that's likely to come back. You know, so always, you know, keep your policies up to date, you know, as you do, and make sure, you know, your schools engage with parents. So we don't see this as being a big issue. It just kind of becomes one of those things that comes from a national movement, so it creeps into our state. But we know that our school boards are making sure that they've got clear communication line with their parents.
As I said during session, we have, I mean, there's FERPA, there's numerous policies, there's parent involvement policies. I always think school districts have more policies when it comes to these sorts of parent rights and parents and getting parents involved. We're always encouraging that, encouraging parent involvement in our schools. So we do believe our schools are doing a quality job with parental involvement and certainly doing everything they can to educate their parents on what they have going on in their schools. A couple policy updates for you that you know we didn't necessarily cover today. There were certainly a lot of bills like we talked about. We had 36 bills of opposition and some good number of support bills as well this year. But the cell phone, there was a bill to ban cell phones from bell to bell, and that was Senate Bill 198. So that'll be something. We don't have to make any changes on that this year. We know that school districts have cell phone policies, and in fact, the last data search we had come under was almost every single school district. And I would guess by now, if you don't have a cell phone and portable device policy, I would encourage you to, as a school district, to develop one. You could utilize the sample policy at Associated School Boards as a guide for the current scenario. So certainly feel free, you have access to that. But I would certainly encourage you to, if you don't have a cell phone policy in place and a portable device policy in place, to do that. We could certainly see this coming up again from a bill perspective in the upcoming session. So just something to be aware of. Couple takeaways from this session as we kind of wind down here a little bit. One, it doesn't look like the debate on property taxes is finished. We're anticipating there will probably be more conversation about that as we work through next legislative session. Like I said, with Senate Bill 245, Senate Bill 96, and then 218 from, or excuse me, 216 from the year before.
And we're
So
still a few years from those, bills being they're actually going to be implemented. It's going to be for pay 27. So, the conversation is not, like he said, it's not over. I think that there's going to be, further down the line on if the policies that were passed are the right ways for the state to proceed. And so we'll just have to see where that goes in session tw in 2027.
another, we talked about funding. So when it comes to property taxes, state aid property taxes, that's what funds our public schools in a nutshell, by and large, for most of our school districts. And one of the things I talked about a little bit this year, it came up at different times, was the funding formula for schools and the school funding formula. And that it was mentioned there really weren't, it's a big task, it's a big tackle. And at the end of the day, the bottom line with whatever formula we have, the formula needs to be funded. So, with regardless of whatever your formula or whatever the funding formula for K-12 education looks like, the important part of that is that it's funded properly and adequately for our school districts, and that's what we would strive and push for. Keep a close eye on your accountability. So, just want everyone to make sure they kind of, Tyler had mentioned earlier the minimum teacher salary this year. The minimum's $46,201. So, keep an eye on that. And then your average district comp needs to also be at or above the fiscal year 24 figure with that cumulative increase in state aid by 6.65%. So, keep an eye on that. And certainly check your district's calculation and the DOE calculator for what that looks like as well. So if you do have a waiver or you need to have a waiver process go through, that is available. You can utilize that with the School Finance Accountability Board. They did have a scenario this year between Joint Committee on Appropriations or Joint Appropriations Committee and the Finance Accountability Board where they look at that. So a bill did go through as well. That kind of cleared up some of that as well. So that's something to be aware of with our School Finance Accountability Board and their decision-making ability as well. So with that, I'll finish it off. I just want to reiterate, I want to thank our legislators for the work that they did this session, and also want to encourage our members to thank their legislators and visit and have conversations with their local legislators in particular about session, about K-12 education and how they voted, their beliefs on K-12 education and what they did. That goes a long way in your vigilance towards how they voted, their voting record, and what was beneficial for our K-12 school districts in South Dakota. So with that, I want to thank you, Tyler, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Heath.
All
Great to work
right,
with
it's
you all
been.
session.
Yeah, so that'll be it from legislative session from us this year as far as a rundown. I do want to encourage you, be aware we will be putting together any sample or any policy updates that need to come. We will be working with that with our Director of Policy and Legal Services and our team here at ASBSD to get those policies sent out to our school districts for your consideration and review as well. So with that, Appreciate everybody's membership, and thanks for joining us on the agenda.